Hello, and welcome to Relatable with the Experts. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. We're working through our second series, Living Without Fear. Fear is something we all face. It can be a minor annoyance or a major roadblock in how we live our lives. I've struggled with fear at different stages in my own journey, which is why I'm so excited for you to hear from our incredible lineup of experts. Each one brings a unique perspective from their area of expertise to help us understand and overcome fear. In this episode, we hear from our HR expert and executive coach, LaQuenta Jacobs. Q has a unique gift of getting to the heart of the matter, and this episode is no different. When I talk with Q, she's open, honest, transparent, and provides real-life stories that we can all relate to. Key insights from Q during this episode. One, fear comes from a place you cannot see. Two, understanding the root of where it comes from can set you free. And three, you have to ask for what you need. People can't help unless you tell them. Great insight and advice that is relatable and practical. Enjoy this episode. All righty, so we're back with LaQuenta Jacobs, and we're talking about living without fear. And I picked this theme because, you know, personally, I have found that fear has prevented me throughout my life from doing things that I wanted to do. And certainly as I've gotten older, I've gotten better, and I really try to put myself in those uncomfortable scenarios. For a long time though, especially in my career, I just wanted to be perfect. I wanted to be good. I wanted to be somebody that people saw as competent. And so because of that, I think it restricted how I behaved in professionally. Whereas if I had sort of unleashed what I really could be and really, you know, say the things I wanted to say or risk certain things for that, I think it would have been an interesting exercise to see what would have shifted. So I think, and I do think outside of I just think fear is an interesting concept and how it applies to us in these different aspects of our life. And I do think it shows up in people's careers. So, you know, from your vantage point, again, we were kind of that HR leader, an executive coach, diversity leader, thought leadership, you know, what do you think about when you think about kind of this idea of, you know, living without fear? How does it show up?
Oh my goodness. So
heavy.
That's pretty heavy, but not to be hocus pocus, but I would say Fear and faith are belief in something you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Both of them.
So fear starts from a place of something you can't see. And often it is shaped, our fear is shaped on previous experiences, but our fear is often shaped on what we don't want to see happen. Mm-hmm. And what we often do is we lean into what we don't want to see happen until it manifests. And then it is the thing that happens.
Yes.
It is almost a self-fulfilling prophecy or a sabotage that we do unconsciously because we want to stay away so far away from that thing over there that could potentially happen that we end up driving our behavior into that thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say when I think about it from my role, fear has been my inability to embrace courage or embrace change. For fear of what that would mean. Am I good enough, or am I going to be able to operate the same way in this change or in this new environment? It has also been rooted in authenticity. And so in many times when I think about my matriculation into leadership, I was performing instead of showing up,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I had gotten so much feedback around what it is and what you should be doing and what the competencies and the characteristics of leaders and think fast and quality decision-making and being forging for the future and that I didn't even know who I was through the noise of what everybody else was telling me I needed to be. Fear also was in communication, micro and macroaggressions that I had received over my career. I'm a strong communicator. I'm a strong girl, right? I never met a doorknob that didn't need to be turned. That's the way I thought. That's the way I think about it.
Yeah.
But I got silenced for that. But it is one of my superpowers because it is the voice in the room that speaks up for others. I'm the ally. It is the person that challenges the status quo, that thinks about the accessibility and applicability for everyone, that isn't willing to challenge and remove a barrier for one so I can remove a barrier for all. But earlier in my career, I was fearful of showing up as that person because it made someone else uncomfortable. And then I
Yes.
think about that prohibited my ability to lead by example. And I'll give you a prime, I'll bring a personal story into this. Most recently, you know that I had a heart transplant. And I was fearful of what staying in that hospital would mean for me and my career. And I have a leader that challenged the status quo for me, that used her voice to advocate for me, that said, this is what you need to do. These are the things that you need to do. And this is how the organization is going to support you. And when I give you that example of her, it makes me think back on the times where I didn't lead by example, where I wasn't courageous, I wasn't present, I wasn't transparent, right? I wasn't invested in others. And so that transformed into fear and it hindered my growth and my ability to influence and impact and open the door for others, which I think is my purpose, right? I really think that was what my purpose is as a leader. Also to contribute to the work that happens, you know, and create value for the organization, of course. But at the core of what I do, I lead a team. And so if I am fearful of where I am in the organization, that trickles down to my teams. If
Yeah.
I'm fearful of being courageous as an inclusion, equity, and diversity leader, look what that does to the minimized voices in the organization. Or if I'm fearful to give feedback as a coach to really help you see and understand your insights, how effective am I? And so those things of living with fear can show up in so many ways, but you have to understand the root of where it comes from and quiet those little voices in your head
Yeah.
that begin to peek up. Because I'm not 100% cured, you know, from that. But I understand what the root of it is and where it comes from and what living with fear and how it shows up professionally.
I think one thing I'm learning right now in my own therapeutic ways is that the fear actually has a lot to do with your relationship with your own self.
Absolutely.
So I there, and that goes beyond being self-aware. So by that, I mean, how observant am I of my own behavior, of the way that I operate the world, the way that I'm showing up to things, the way that I'm taking care of myself, the way that I talk to myself, the way that I really look at historical performance in a versus manufacturing a history that's not true, and really kind of connecting all those things, and that kind of creating this whole self, which then is stronger to be courageous. And so I think when you see certain people, I've always wondered, why, how come they're not afraid to say the thing, or to jump out of a plane if that's the thing, or to whatever it's all shapes and sizes for us because we're all different. And I think it ultimately, what I'm learning is the more shored up you are to, then you can, it's like your mask, then theirs, you can let go then, because you kind of shored this part up. And man, that's taken a long time to figure that out.
It is, and it's rooted in trust. You know what I mean? It's trusting
Of
yourself and
yourself.
trusting others. Yes, it's
Yeah.
trusting yourself. Absolutely. It's rooted in trust. But
Yes.
I think also fear causes you, and I've seen this professionally, that individuals who walk in fear or operate in fear often make the big mistakes.
Yes.
And that is the thing that traumatizes their career, right? Or jeopardizes their career. It's those big mistakes because you are operating out of fear. So, in some cases, the HR issues that I've dealt with, that has been lack of trust, lack of honesty,
Yeah.
right? The cover up, the throwing the person under the bus, not taking accountability for your own actions. And adversely, when I've seen it show up, a big mistake happens, but you take accountability you typically get the favor, right, that follows because you've owned it. And so
Yeah.
that fear component again manifests itself in the thing that you never wanted to happen, but you drove yourself there because you were fearful and you were blinded by the possibility of failure or whatever the root cause is. So I think when I think about what fear does to enable leadership, it can be a big derailer.
And, you touched on it, so I think it's worth going there. Both of us have seen a lot. Professionals getting into some sticky wickets. And I
Right.
the thing that's interesting, and a lot that can be attributed to alcohol. And when people, I think, have to be social at work, depending regardless, it's a happy hour, or it's an annual offsite, or it's a impromptu shower for a friend. It
Yeah.
takes all these different types of events, and people that aren't comfortable in those events think, oh, I'm just gonna have a couple of drinks and that's
Yeah.
gonna loosen me up. And that's fine. Casual drinks. But what I found, it's like to, and this isn't a good example of people going into a situation being fearful because it's uncomfortable. And so they kind of self-medicate. And then before you know it, you're four or five in.
Yeah.
Now you're getting handsy, Right. And then fill in the blank. So I
Right.
think that that's just a very small example. And there's fear that prevents us from speaking up in a room. There's fear that's presents us for prevents us from, to your point, standing up for the person that needs to be heard. Or there's fear of your own stick, like asking for something that you want and need. How many times
Absolutely.
did you mute yourself because you're like, there's no way I'm going to get that?
Exactly. I will shout out a young lady that is a friend of mine, very, very dear friend of mine now. But when I started at one of my previous organizations, the first day we were in a meeting, and it was she and I, her name is Emily. And Emily kind of watched me in the meeting, and I was like, this lady is watching me. This is so uncomfortable. Like, why is she watching me?
It's day
But
one.
everybody, right, everybody in the meeting was talking. It was a male-dominated leadership team. Bravado was going, ego was going, flexing was happening, and I was sitting in the room watching, and I was listening. And every time I got tried to say something, someone else said something. There was also a diverse aspect of the room. I was the only person of color in the room, so my voice started to say they didn't want to hear from me. Like the language that I had been given over periods of time started to manifest itself. And so I went into the bathroom and I was like, I'm exhausted and it's only 12 o'clock. We got to go into 5 o'clock. Jesus. Like, I was exhausted. And I was washing my hands and she came out of the stall and she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, your voice needs to be heard. And I
Wow.
looked at her and I said, what do you mean? And she says, I've watched you and you haven't said anything yet. And I know you have something to share. Your voice needs to be heard. And two things happened in that meeting. I had an ally in the room. I had someone that spoke life into me and gave me courage. And then I had to address my fear in that very moment of why I wasn't speaking up. And no one in the room did anything to me from a diversity perspective to make me think that there
Yeah.
was anything wrong with me being a Black female sitting in the room with a bunch of men, middle-aged white men. There was nothing that anyone did, but there was a chemistry in the room that already existed, and I was a new player. And I was fearful of exercising that because of all of the microaggressions. You're too loud, you're too aggressive, you're too forceful, you don't really care, your opinion, yeah, la, 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 la. All of that was playing in the back. I carried my little bag with me, right? And I opened it up, and it was playing. And it wasn't until,
Dump
right?
on
I'm like,
the table.
hey, here's my bags. You want it? I got some gifts. But, at the end of the day, it was a moment of somebody recognizing it. And I felt seen. I felt seen without having to say a word. I felt seen. And I don't know to this day if Emily, I tell her all the time, what you gave me that day was courage.
Yeah, let's just pause there for a minute because that phrase of I felt seen That's so powerful. And I think it is the corner. What is the word I'm looking for? Like, if people felt seen, we could solve, we could have peace on earth. I think that's the core issue, is no one feels seen, and yet we are responsible for not showing them. Exactly to your point. And not to say there aren't real reasons or real barriers. I don't want to create like this Pollyanna view. I would challenge people to think about, like you just did, which is, you heard that, and then you had to still take a step out. You had to go back into that meeting and still put yourself out there in a chemistry that felt like a barrier. And that is hard. And
That's very hard.
so that first thing of like, if you don't feel seen, or if you create an environment where you're not seen, I think we do it to ourselves. Like, I don't want people to see, so I'm just gonna hold my, especially remote world now, hold myself up over here, do my thing, show up when I have to, not, I don't wanna, give too much, or I don't wanna do too little. It's this bizarre time we're in right now with respect to, I think, this idea of being visible, both like physically and metaphorically, Okay, so let's start to kind of move into best practices. So that comment of, sticking up, or someone being observant and seeing it in you, in terms of some of the other people that you've coached or people you've seen in organizations, how have they been able to effectively handle fear, or to move through it or past it? Relatable is brought to you by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for speaking, career coaching, or leadership development. If you have a need in one of these areas, Teresa and her team would love to help. Please message us at info@tfasoftskills.com or leave a comment on our many socials. Now, back to the show.
That's a really good question. And some of the advice that I have given to others and even myself is you've got to be able to ask for what you need. You can't expect people to understand right off the bat what you need, or what your accommodations may need to be, or what support you need kind of in a meeting, or being the first time presenting, or being the first time building a strategic initiative. You have to be able to ask for what you need. And then build those relationships around you to get it, because you're not every leader that you report to has the capacity to give you what you need, because we can't be everything for everybody.
Right.
But you have to build those relationships around you where you can tap in. And it's actually like going to a bank. You can't withdraw money that you haven't deposited. So as you are tapping in, you also have to be able to give to others and be available to others in that space so that they can tap into you, right? Because that's the way you build your equity. The longer
Yes.
you live in a house, the greater the value is. And so the more you give, the more you can withdraw, I think is one thing.
And I think you're saying too, and I so believe this energetically,
Yes.
have to keep pushing yourself. It's like the working out. Nobody wants to get up and work out, but you do
Right.
it. You feel better when you do it. And I think the same is true of fear and discomfort. I recently started getting acupuncture. The first time I went to see her, I was so proud of myself. But the first time I went to see her, I said, "You cannot leave me alone in here. Like, once you put him in the me, like, I wasn't afraid of the needles going in. It's I have a hard time being still. So
Yes.
the idea of me laying there with needles in me, and then her leaving the room, and just, that took my fear and anxiety. So normal me would just suck it up and be so uncomfortable and panicky while I'm laying there, which I think is the opposite of what you're trying to get the acupuncture to do,
Yes.
But I told her, this woman I didn't even know, I said, "Hey, I'm going to be really honest with you. For the first few sessions, you have to stay in here and talk to me, because I know me well enough, and I asked for what I wanted, and I felt like an idiot, right? I'm like 50 plus, we won't say what, and like I can't be in a room by myself. Like, that is insane." But man, it changed, it like shape shifted. When you do things like that, it creates a different neural pathway to allow you to do something else.
It absolutely does. And you think about when you ask someone for help, it gives someone else purpose in your plot or your story,
Yes.
right? And so we often think about asking for help as a weakness or as an incompetence. You're not asking somebody else to do your work. You're asking somebody else for their insights, right? You're asking somebody else who has been there, done that. I'm a firm believer in working smarter, not harder, right? And so if I could glean from your previous mistakes, why do I have to go and make the same mistake, right? But if I could glean from that and you could share that with me and you are invested in my success, there's other opportunities that come from that. And there's so many rich benefits that come from kind of being transparent and taking that moment of asking for what you need. And so using your example of acupuncture, she stayed, she talked to you, but you also had someone there who recognized you and saw you and what you needed, right? And they answered the call.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to challenge people that are listening. Like, I want everybody to pick something that they're right now afraid to do. And it can be small, medium, large, huge, it doesn't matter. And how are you, make a commitment that you're going to talk to somebody about that and be seen, right? And push yourself through it. Because I really believe this is what's holding a lot of people back in their personal and their professional life. And you just have to start small.
You have to start small. And a trick that I use is
Yes.
I'm a three-person girl. I talk about three things. My strategy is three things. When I go into a meeting, I'm saying the first thing I want to talk to you about, second thing, and third thing. Keeps this little brain of mine that wants to scatter off and think about everything else. It keeps me focused. But what that is an effective communication skill. And you have to be willing to communicate and articulate what it is that you want, and then follow up that communication with the outcome. And so it starts with, really, really addressing what it is that you want. It helps you take a moment to think about it,
Yep.
write it down. I always say the best presentations are the prepared presentations. So
Yes.
if this is the first time that you're asking someone for help, write down specifically what it is you need. Don't go into the meeting blabbing, expecting somebody else to kind of get to the middle of it, but respect that person's time. Go into that discussion saying, these are the two or three things that I need. Can you help me with this because of this? Right? Be
Yeah.
very prepared in those discussions and honor and treat those relationships in that way.
Yes. Great, great advice. This wraps up our segment on living without fear, and we'll be back again to talk about accountability and success. Thank you, relatable experts. Your advice and counsel is so valuable. Thank you, relatable audience. Please rate, subscribe, leave comments, and share this podcast with others. Until next time, this is Career Coach T. Stay connected.